Hey everybody, Jimmy Smith. Today on the MMA on SiriusXM podcast, me and the staff review some stories of revenge between exes and decide who's in the wrong. Plus, I speak to top grappler Mike Musumeci about taking on Kleber Sosa in the first ever flyweight submission grappling world championship match in ONE history during ONE on Prime Video 2 next Friday. What we are doing is I'm sharing some petty breakup stories. And what I want to know from you, Kelly Kell, with each one of these stories, is there anything your significant other could do that would warrant this kind of petty breakup? If you were like, there is no way under any circumstances I would do this, that's over the line no matter what this person did. Because what I love about these stories is it's just the breakup. It doesn't say what happened. It doesn't say how they were treated that made them act this way. It's just the breakup. And I want to know if this breakup would be under any circumstances acceptable to you. And if it is, what would make it acceptable?
Okay. That
is
makes
that good?
Sense. Yes.
Does that work? Okay.
That works. I'll allow.
This is from BuzzFeed. My ex left a sex tape of herself with another man with a note saying she found someone more compatible. Would you?
No. Wow, no, okay, I wouldn't take part in making one of those to leave. So, no.
The reason I find this so funny is there are, by the way, anti-revenge porn laws in most states. Okay, so if you did technically, and I don't know when this was. This could be back before the internet. I don't know. This could be really old. Because it says at the end, I was only 20. So maybe this was a while ago before it could be easily shared. The idea that you would break up with somebody and give them ammunition that would hurt you. He could share this with his friends. He could put this online. Now, that's illegal,
not.
But he could do it, right? That's
100%.
Weird, isn't it?
That would be like you said, illegal, but the hole's already dug. Yes. Like, and now you have to get out of it. And that's a mess. No, no, and no.
All right. Absolutely not. Do we have a buzzer? We have a buzzer we can give this one? KOB, we have a buzzer we can give this one? There we go. So it's a no. Under no circumstances is Kelly A making a sex tape. Number two, giving that sex tape to her ex and allowing it to be passed around. So anyway, Kelly Kell. So this one I totally picture Kelly doing. I'm just throwing this out here,
oh,
KOB.
Great.
So before Kelly answers, KOB, I want you to tell me if you can picture Kelly doing this. She left all my clothes on the side of the road that I used to pass on my way to work. I didn't even realize they were my clothes for a few seconds, and I even chuckled until I recognized my hoodie. KOB, could you see Kelly taking all of a guy's clothes and dumping them on the side of the road where he would drive by and see them? Yes or no?
As we have learned from this segment, Kel's got some crazy to her. Don't see her doing this, though.
No? Under any circumstances.
I'm like, I can be crazy for sure, but yes. In like ways that don't require a lot of effort, because no man is worth that much of my time. Like, imagine how much time it would have to take to get all of his things,
what's
drive
a dump
to a location, drop it.
That much.
But for what? Like, who cares?
Kelly seems like more of a psychological warfare person to me. Like
100%.
But
she's not going to do anything physical to you. Like, she's not going to key your car or do anything like that. But
like I'm just going to make you
shade.
Hate yourself
yeah.
And like everybody else hate you too.
All right, but here's right. But psychologically, here's what I'm hearing from you, Kel. Doing something like that would indicate I cared about you, and I'm not giving you the satisfaction.
100%.
Yes.
I've had this exact conversation with Gabby where the guy I was dating or seeing did something messed up and I just never spoke to him again. And she was like, you don't want to reach out and like see what happened or get closure. And I was like, no, because he would know that I care and I don't. Absolutely not. Like, I'd rather just cut you off and then make you think about it forever. And then maybe one day in like 3 years, text you like Happy Arbor Day. Just so I'm back in your phone and you think about me again.
Oh, my God. Okay, Arbor Day. That's special. All right. There are a lot of variations on this one. And I don't
get either way. So, Kelly, maybe you could explain it to me. I would really much like an explanation because obviously we're from different generations. This particular one is, while we were having sex, he finished and said, I don't think this is working. We had been dating for 8 months. There are a lot of variations on this theme. We're like, mids are right after sex. He's in the shower going, all right, this isn't working, and they leave. That, and some are men, some are women. What's the deal with that? Is it a last bang? Is it to make them feel like this is what you're missing? I don't get it.
I just feel like...
Around sex is a breakup. Explain it to me if you can.
Well, I don't know, because some people fully break up because they know it's not working and then end up hooking up again just because it's probably there's a level of comfort there. This sounds like they weren't broken up and they broke up after this last time.
Yeah, but there's so many variations.
There
on
has
this
to be some
theme,
sense of like they knew it wasn't working already and then this was the last straw.
They just want to
like,
get
you
a
know
bang.
What? Like this isn't worth it.
Okay, so but does that indicate that sex is the problem? Because sex would make me go like, all right, maybe I'll give one more shot. If it's good, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's the thing. It's like it must
good?
Be that bad where it's like this can't even, you know, this is still unbearable. Like just the fact that I'm around you probably.
K-O-B-
there
maybe,
has to be more to it.
See, I think there's that possibility, and there's also the possibility that this dude knew it was done in like week 3. But maybe the sex was so good, he stuck around for 8 months, and he was like,
right,
all right
and then
you know
maybe
what?
He met somebody else. You know what I mean?
I literally can't do this anymore. Like, it's not worth it anymore. Like,
right,
<I'm>
and like I can move on because I have my next option, and I understand that, and that's okay. I don't think that's bad.
So this is
so
on
what am I the
list?
Man in this situation?
Well, no, a lot of these are from a women's perspective too. They were like, I had sex with a guy, and one was like, I hopped off, and like I'm out of here. So yes or no, that's not that bad to be like done.
No, I would do that. I don't think that's bad. Sometimes it just takes
give it a
to
ding.
Realize. Like, listen.
Give it a ding. All right, I got you. Don't get that much. This one is hilarious to me. We had been arguing a lot leading up to this Halloween party because I was convinced he was having a thing with another girl. So there's a little background here.
But we had a few laughs
about the idea of dressing up as a salad as salad vegetables together at this party while everyone else would be going for a sexy look, right? So we're going to be the different ones who are dressing up in something weird and funny and goofy.
Can I interrupt and just say couples costumes don't
cringe.
Do them. It's
cringe
disgusting.
Every time. Yeah. Yeah.
It's disgusting. Yes. And what? Well, someone's a tomato and someone's a cucumber. Like,
right,
no one even wants you there at that point. Why did you show up?
We're off track here. Yeah, but yes, I get what you're saying. Okay. So, the night of the party, he turned up as a sexy zombie Danny from Greece, holding hands with another girl who was dressed as a zombie Sandy. That's how he told me it was over. I was dressed as a carrot. So he made the couple costume and made her wear the dorky costume whilst he dressed totally differently with somebody else. That is extra level effed up. Yes?
Okay, so... what am I in the situation? I'm agreeing with what the guy did?
I would imagine you would be more the guy to, like, get your...
100%. Person. I'm not going to no Halloween party as, like, a piece of romaine lettuce. Are you kidding me?
Hello?
Like, are you kidding
right.
me? But I wouldn't have even put myself in the situation to be like, oh, my gosh, me and my boyfriend are doing this couple's costume. We're going to look so cute and have so much fun. That makes me sick, like, to my stomach.
By the way, folks, I'm watching her on Zoom, and you literally look like I never. The look on your face, you're not kidding. Like, you are disgusted right now.
No, anything. Most things with men make me sick to my stomach. Like, I just, you guys are disgusting, and I just don't, like,
thanks,
I can't.
Kel.
Yeah, okay. No, I love you guys, Kel. But, like, just the thought of dressing up, doing a couple's costume, it just doesn't, I can't take it.
Okay, all right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
TJ Dillashaw, Halloween date. All he asks is a couple's costume.
Well, we make exceptions to all.
Okay, all right.
Like even the Constitution has amendments, Jimmy. For Christ's sake, TJ Dillashaw.
She was ready to throw up on her microphone 10 seconds ago, and now it's like, whoa, maybe.
Here's the deal. I also want to throw this one out there, Jimmy. If you're going to like please. Agree to the couple's costume, like you just get buried into it, two rules to make sure you don't end up like this girl. Number one, you go to their house and you make sure that they're wearing the costume that they're supposed to wear. And
she
two, you drive. You make sure you go together. You don't do any of this. Oh, I'll meet you there. You're just asking to get screwed over.
What kind of couple are you if you're doing a couple's costume, going to a Halloween party together, and you show up separately? Like, you guys aren't a couple to begin with.
I got half pulled into a couple's costume once after like having the same attitude as Cal. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, it's dumb. Like, I don't
what
dress
was
up
it?
For Halloween. I said, I don't dress up for Halloween anymore. Because it was so low-key, I gave in. Her and the girl I was dating and her friend were dressed up as like the Rockford Peaches from A League of Their Own. All I had to do was basically wear a baseball jersey and a hat. I was like, all right, I can go with that. Like, that's fine.
That's like minimal effort. That's like not a costume. I can handle it.
No, I literally.
I thought you were gonna be like, we were ketchup and mustard.
No, never in a billion years. Because of that, because it was that, Cal. I was like, I just have to wear a baseball jersey and a hat. I mean, I could wear jeans. And she's like, yeah, I don't care. Just a baseball jersey and the hat. That's all you got to do. I'm like, I could be drunk Jimmy Dugan. I don't care. I'll run with that.
Like, that's you could go to a bar in that after. Like, it's just that's okay. I can handle this.
They actually, it was funny. We were walking up, we had gone into town, and like as we were walking up to the bars, we noticed like not a lot of people were dressed up. The two of them were feeling really bad. I was like, I might be going to a baseball game. No one knows. Like, I look normal right now. The two of you feel silly because you're dressed up and we don't see anybody else dressed up right now. But yeah, you make sure, like I said, I went there, put the jersey on, made sure that they were dressed, and then we went together. That's how you handle a couple costume.
Gotcha. Okay. I've never coupled costume, but yeah, I guess that makes sense. Makes sense. So, he dumped me on the day I graduated from medical school after sitting through the entire ceremony. He said it was because I was doing what I wanted to do and he was too scared to move somewhere new. The photos from the day were ruined and it was such a negative way to end such an amazing achievement. The thing that stands out to me is if I am breaking up with you, I am not sitting through a commencement ceremony for medical school. I'm not wasting my day and then breaking up with you.
No, that's not even the point. The thing that stands out to me here is this man is giving the complete opposite of BDE. He's sad. He's probably, honestly, he's probably, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's
intimidated.
Pathetic.
Yeah, his girl just graduated medical school. She's probably going to make more money than him. He can't bear to move somewhere else so that she could be the breadwinner of the family. It's giving sad. It's giving pathetic. And this Good girl reasons. Should feel like she dodged a bullet. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Side question to throw to the group here. What's actually more wrong? Is it breaking up with someone right before that graduation, or is it kind of like going through the ceremony and then breaking up? I don't know which one's worse, actually.
That's a good question.
Probably going, letting her go through the ceremony without realizing there's a problem. It sucks, but at least she wasn't up there like crying.
And you know what? Afterwards, it's like, okay, you just broke up with me, but I also just graduated medical school. So it's like, who really cares?
Yeah,
I'm assuming dissociated.
Yeah, I'm assuming she cared about the person, however. And that Clearly. Doesn't make... Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is one that is in the category that I have discussed before, where sex, for some reason. But this one's... I don't know why this one strikes me as so funny. I was having sex with this guy, and he seemed very disinterested and distracted. When I asked him, he said, "I'd rather be dead than be with you."
So then why is he?
It's all kind of beyond my understanding. I don't get it at all. It's super duper weird.
Part of me appreciates the brutal honesty, even though if somebody ever said that to me, that would be it. No one would ever hear from me again. But the other part of me is like, then why are you there? Then go hook up with somebody else or just go be doing anything else if you'd rather be dead.
That's kind of insane. Yeah, I don't get it personally. As I'm sitting here looking at it, I absolutely 100% do not get it. I don't get that one.
I genuinely don't get that at all. Then go do anything else. Like, who cares?
Yeah, that seems certainly a little weird to me, I gotta say. But it's like, I don't get how miserable you'd have to be that's your moment. That's what I don't get. Like, you know, I mean, I'm a little different and everything, but like, I don't get that's your moment. Like, that's when you absolutely have to do it. That's completely beyond
They me. Had to have gone through some serious shit in the past for him to just bluntly say that at that
now
moment
this,
in time.
Now, this is something, once again, this is kind of thematic, okay? And there are many of these like this, but this one is a little weird. This guy I'd been talking to for a month told me he was ending things because he had a dream that I was the devil. He said it felt like Jesus was trying to give him a sign not to be with me. I have no effing clue. Now, this is religious, which is weird. But I've read a lot of these. I got broken up with because somebody had a dream about me. Is that somehow common? Because I've heard that a lot. Is it?
No, that's psycho is what it is. That's
Do you have friends who have done that? But do you have friends who have done that? Okay.
No, I wouldn't have people like that in my life.
That makes sense. That makes sense. That's weird. That's weird.
That's really weird.
All right, last one, and I think this one is kind of a Kelly Sharp one. I had given him shoes for his birthday and wrote, "I'm so glad you walked into my life," on the box. We broke up a few months later, and he gave the shoes back and said, "Have fun walking out of my life." Gave back the shoes. Is that something you would do? Is that Kelly approved?
100%, because even just the fact that she wrote, "I'm so glad you walked into my life," on a shoebox and gave it to him is another thing added to the list of things that make me sick to my stomach. That's disgusting.
And this person deserves to be broken up with, yes?
Should have been broken up with on the spot. I would have literally taken the box and like, walk out. Like, you're disgusting to me. After a month? First of all, what kind of guy is so great that you're buying him jack shit after 1 month? Nobody. That's the answer.
Wow. You should have seen her wildly gesticulating, by the way, folks. Her hands came alive. Like, excuse me.
But what is that? 1 month?
I don't know. I'm not
like, are you gift giving after 30 days?
They must have been
not unless
shoes.
It's somebody's birthday or something.
Yeah, they must have been crappy shoes. I don't care like how crazy it seems. If some girl gave me shoes and I really liked them, I'm not giving them back just to make a point at the end.
No,
like
no. If they're really nice, for sure.
All right, so what do you guys think of before we go to break? What do you guys think about giving back gifts? That seems so juvenile. I would never expect something I gave somebody back.
Don't
ever.
Ask for them back. Don't. Yeah,
you don't. I don't ask even for give back like do. The clothes I've stolen. Like. Not stolen, like from stores, like from the guys I've dated that are theirs. This is their things. They're not getting it back at that point. It's mine. That's it.
I love how you always take it to the next level. Like, no, I stole from them and I will not return it.
No, but I just like steal. They gave them to me. But
hoodie
it's like,
thief. Every girl's a freaking 100%. Hoodie thief.
100%. And you'll never like, get them back. So yeah, it's like, don't give me ones you love and cherish because you will never see them again. And I still wear them.
This is many, many, many years ago. I had a Radiohead long sleeve black shirt that I had gotten at a Radiohead concert. It's very hard to get. You can't get one of these like online, okay? I went to a Radiohead show, got this Radiohead shirt, left it at a girl's house that they were not dating, like not even, weren't even that serious. And she's like, "You are never getting that back." And like straight up, just like you, Kelly, like, "Nope, I sleep in it. You are never getting that thing back." And I was like, fuck. Like, but not even like, oh, she didn't even make excuses. She was like, "Nope. It is mine now. It is awesome, and I'm never giving it back."
So literally, the last one I got, chef's kiss, Penn State wrestling sweatshirt.
You stole a Penn State wrestling sweatshirt?
That's like my favorite one. Like, you can't even like buy them like at the store or whatever. And I was like, "Aw, I'm gonna eat." Like, that's it. It's mine. It's part of my wardrobe now.
That's evil.
That is evil.
Give me something else then.
I and don't want it. Specifics. Was this a Penn State wrestler?
Yes.
You effing B.
Maybe in a few years,
that
I'll have
is
the
a
Arbor Day
huge
it
code
and give my shirt. But for now, it's fine.
From a Penn State wrestler, you stole his Penn State wrestling sweater.
I was given it, and I just extended the lease.
Given, or he left it there after sex, and you kept it?
No. He gave it to me. Not like to keep. I said like.
Okay. Yeah, you were cold.
Kelly said
he was
she was cold.
Gentleman. Right.
Guy,
I'm like,
yeah, I don't
get
it. Like, he gave it to me, and I extended the lease on it. And perhaps in a few years I'll give it back, but probably not. So.
That is.
I can actually give you the opposite of this story, Jimmy.
That's the most Kelly ending ever. Is I stole it and I don't feel bad, and we're moving on.
Sorry.
I've told you in the past. I had dated at one point my best friend's sister. We had gone out for a while. And when we broke up, I forgot. I went to hang out with him one night, and he came to pick me up. As I get in the car, he goes, "Here, my mom said to give these to you." I'm like, "What are these?" He's like, "I don't know. Open the bag." I opened the bag. It was like four of my shirts and my sweatshirt that she had taken from my house at some point, or that I'd given her. And he goes, I'm like, "What is this?" I'm like, "I didn't ask for any of this back." She goes, "My mom says you guys aren't together. She doesn't get to keep this stuff anymore." I was like, "Yo, I love your mother. Like, she is the best lady."
Folded, probably. Her mom washed them, folded them. Yeah.
She washed all of it. She recognized it, knew they were mine, and was like, she doesn't get to keep these. They broke up. Like, he might get some stuff back. I can actually give them back to someone.
Oh. Kel, Penn State wrestling sweater. That's going to sting. That's going to sting me for a while.
It's my favorite sweatshirt I have now.
Dude, if you're listening and that's your stuff, you go claim that stuff. Break into her house and get it.
I would literally call the police.
I would literally call the cops to keep the shirt that I stole from this guy. Wow.
I did not steal it. I was given it. And I'm extending my stay.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay.
I love that. No, given like you were cold and he gave like, oh, here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not giving. That's you can have it for the evening because you're cold.
Yo, how sad is that as a guy you almost have to be a jerk about these things? Like, here's the sweatshirt. Oh, I'm taking it back.
Right, you gotta like take it back. It's like a bet with KOB. You gotta go, this is for an hour, and you can then I will take it back, right?
If you think you're walking away from me at any point while wearing my favorite sweatshirt, it's not happening. Just know you're staying in eye shot.
But it's like at that point, like, don't try to be cute, because that's like what he was doing. He was like, this is my favorite. And I was like, okay, and now it's mine. Now it's my favorite. So, like, I'm glad we have similar tastes.
Gentlemen, this is what you're in for if you date Kelly Kell. If Kelly Murphy, you date her, she will just claim your shit.
Kelly Kell is dating nobody. She's working on herself. So
whilst wearing a Penn State wrestling,
you got a lot of work to do. Working on yourself while wearing stolen clothing.
The only way I'll find peace is if I have the sweatshirt in my possession. So.
Kelly is meditating while wearing that sweatshirt. Finding the right headspace.
I am zen robbing from people. You make me sick.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
Mikey Musumeci is going to be fighting at ONE Championship. It's ONE on Prime Video 2. It streams live next Friday, September 30th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Mikey, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Good. How you doing, Jimmy?
Doing fantastic, man. So all you've accomplished, right? Multiple world championships. I've seen you compete, EBI. I've seen you compete at everything. What I'm curious about is when you do a super fight in a fighting environment, meaning in a cage, in a ring. For me, it was always different. I did a couple of those myself, super fights, and you were in like a fight environment. It's slightly different, man. Big crowd, and they're out for they want to see fights. It's a little more different than that, like a submission grappling event. How does it change things for you, or does it change them at all?
Totally. It's completely different, the energy in a fighting crowd, you know, like in center stage in a cage. I remember my first match, I just tried not to look up. I just stared at the floor, so I didn't realize where I was. but yeah, I love the energy of it. You know, I'm very introvert, so being in front of so many people horrifies me, but I love doing what horrifies me, you know. When I'm uncomfortable at something, it makes me excited to do it. So I'm so excited for this again.
What's it like, of course, competing in ONE? Last time you took on Imanari, beat him. Incredible back take, by the way. Great stuff. But Imanari, one of those guys, man, I remember looking up to that guy 20 years ago. To you, that must be
such a legend.
Yeah. What's it like getting on the mat with legends like that? I mean, you know, when your idols become your rivals, almost. You've made it, right?
Yeah. You're starstruck almost, you know, like when he was attacking my foot, I'm like, oh my God, one of the best leg lockers ever is attacking my foot right now. But then I'm like, wait, I'm in a match. I got to focus.
You don't want to become a spectator, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what is it about your style where it seems as though you've so far, every grappling match I've ever seen you in, I saw you in the World Finals, saw you in all kinds of stuff, it seems like you're always mentally kind of a step ahead, where it's like if the chess moves are laid out, you're already on move 4. How much of the game to you is mental rather than physical when you step in there?
It's all in my mind, the match. I'm like exactly like the person in Queens of Gambit without drugs. So the whole board is in my head, right? And like when I start fighting, I'm not really there anymore. Like I'm my body's there, but my mind's like in space, you know? And then I just become like this robot that does all the sequences. And I always go in with like 30 sequences that I'm attacking. And I try the first one. If they defend, I have an answer. I have an answer. I have an answer. And I go on. And it becomes very difficult for my partner to defend because I have so many sequences of attack, you know? So it becomes a matter of, do I have the answer or not? You know, I feel jujitsu so literal in 1 + 1 = 2. So if they grab me this way, I could do this. If they grab me this way, I could do this. So I feel like I always did so well in jujitsu because it's so literal like that. And usually in my matches, I have all the answers, you know, but then competing against the best people, there's always something new. So it makes me excited to compete against such high level competitors because they might give me a reaction I've never seen before. And then I have to improvise in the match and figure it out on the spot, you know. And I love problem solving, so it's so much fun.
How much has the game evolved to you? I've been in it, you know, once again, probably since you were born. So, like, it's evolved an amazing amount to me in the last 20 years. But in the last few years, it seems like it's been in fast forward. How much do you have to stay up on things in terms of watching ADCC, watching the big tournaments, and going, oh, that's kind of the style right now, or that's the move people are going for right now? How much do you have to stay up on the game itself, not just your own training?
So you definitely have to focus more on like the evolution of jiu-jitsu because there's so much more material online. You know, back in the day, we didn't have so many instructionals. There wasn't anywhere that people could learn these things, but now it's available to everyone. So everyone's catching up so much more technically, you know, but I don't really study my opponents anymore. When I was younger, I did. Now I kind of just focus on myself and I just see my opponent as a body that I'm doing my positions on, you know. And they're just giving me a reaction to my position. But I kind of like dehumanize the person I'm fighting because I'm not a fighter, you know, so I don't want to hurt anyone. So when I don't see them as a person, like it kind of helps me mentally do these matches. I remember my friend that works in ICU that sees a lot of people die. He kind of dehumanizes the people that he's with. And I feel like that mindset works best for me, you know.
Understandable. I'm speaking of Mikey Musumeci, one of the best grapplers in the world. Certainly right now, I would say the best American outside of Gordon Ryan. He's going to be competing at 1 on Prime Video 2. It'll stream live next Friday, September 30th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern. I was at the press conference for 1 when they announced this partnership with Prime and the stuff they have coming up. What's it like to be, you know, you were on that dais with, you know, some of the best fighters in the world. Demetrius Johnson was there. Who else was there? Eddie Alvarez was there. Great fighters.
So what's many like, great people. Yeah.
What's it like being part of this new wave for one, this new step forward as a grappler? How do you feel doing that, man?
Man, we're pioneers, you know, like one is just getting into the United States now, right? And we're starting in Amazon Prime, the biggest platform possible for it to be on. And it's just so exciting. You know, I'm American. This is my country. And for me to be a part of one of the first cards introducing it to America, it's very special to me, you know.
What's it like in front of a crowd and an audience that appreciates submission grappling, that knows what's going on, that knows who Imanari is and knows what you're doing to him? What's it like having that audience appreciation, man?
It's very special, you know, and also what you talked about before, how it's fighting fans with mixed martial arts, Muay Thai, kickboxing, all these different martial arts. But we're all speaking the same language of martial arts, you know, and it's very special when other martial artists like from other sports can appreciate what we're doing in jiu-jitsu, you know, so everyone could come together and just appreciate martial arts in one. So that's why we are one, you know. So I feel like my goal with when I do jiu-jitsu is to make it where everyone could watch it. And it puts a lot of pressure on me, but this is what we have to do to get jiu-jitsu to stay on this platform. The biggest platform ever for jiu-jitsu. So over 25 million views my match against Imanari. It was the most viewed match in jiu-jitsu history. And it's because all different martial arts were brought together into one to watch it. So it's very special how Shachi's bringing all the different martial arts together. And jiu-jitsu people could watch and appreciate kickboxing and Muay Thai as well, you know. So I think it's very cool and I'm just honored to be a part of this.
You know, it's funny to me, man. I'm going to share this with you where, I had Rich Franklin on as a guest on the show, and I said, you'd think you understand kickboxing or striking because you saw Anderson Silva, because you've seen Israel Adesanya, and then you see a guy like Rotang where that's his thing. That's all he does. And you go, holy God, that's striking. Right? It's like, yeah. You think you know striking.
There's levels
you've seen
to it,
MMA.
Right?
There are levels. And Rotang just going after DJ, and he put it on him. And DJ's a great striker for MMA.
Oh,
Rotang is just a great striker, period. Do you like this idea of educating people? Because I say that about jiu-jitsu. When you go, man, Charles Oliveira has great jiu-jitsu. I go, he has great jiu-jitsu for MMA. Mike Musumeci just has great jiu-jitsu. Do you like being able to educate people about those levels?
I think it's very cool to do that as well. And I also think it's so cool, like how Mighty Mouse stepped up to do a special rules fight, right? Like what a true martial artist he is for doing that.
Yeah, as you said, stepping out of your comfort zone, doing something that scares you, doing something.
And I feel like that's what this, I feel like that's what fighting is about. You know, I feel like that's what this industry is about. We're constantly pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone. And that's what I really work hard to do right now.
Talk to me a little bit. Freakazoid Martinez, you had a little bit of an issue with him. You competed with him, Nogi. By the way, great performance. You were absolutely amazing in that match.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you didn't like the way he carried himself and his team carried himself. And the one thing you always hear is,
oh, I love Eddie Bravo. Eddie Bravo is awesome. I love Eddie Bravo.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, of course. Yeah, anyway, but you had issues with kind of the talk. And a lot of people say, well, I'm promoting the fight. What are your thoughts on that, man?
I think that there's a certain amount of respect that I give my opponents, and I don't really ask for much respect, but I just want the amount of respect not to compete dirty, you know. When I started the match, he broke my finger, and I got kind of mad about that, you know. So it's kind of illegal to do that. So, and I just want everyone to be able to do jiu-jitsu. I don't want it just to be these, like, tough guys, you know. So, I had a lot of friends that quit jiu-jitsu from being in gyms with people like that, like bullying them kind of. So I've been training 22 years. So I just got emotional. You know, I was training so much and I was just like, screw this guy, you know. But Gio's awesome also. He's great jiu-jitsu. I just got emotional in the heat of the moment. And I just got very passionate because of what I stand for, you know. And I know, understand others don't stand for exactly what I do, but I just didn't like the energy of the match, if that makes sense.
That makes actually perfect sense, man. I've been in some mean matches myself where it got chippy and it got ugly, and I always put it on the guy a little bit more. So,
but it made me tougher from going through that. So I'm grateful for Gio for putting me through that because I hated every second of it, but it made me a better, tougher person. So,
awesome, man. I'm speaking to Mikey Musumeci. I'm going to ask you, you try to, like, as you said, kind of dehumanize your opponent, just see them as, you know, limbs to go after. But
Clever Sosa, Gio was talking a lot of crap to me because he wanted to make me see that he's a human. I think, honestly, that's why he did that. It was smart.
Interesting. So what I'm curious about, someone like Clever Sosa, this is the third time you guys have squared off. Last time was Gi, it was a point system and all that stuff, but you have experience with this guy. Does that change anything for you?
Yeah, because I know what he feels like. You know, he's very tough and strong and, like, just a tough guy, right? He's very hard to break. He's going to come forward at me. He's going to try to finish me. So definitely competing with him helps me. I always say that when I compete with someone, I always fight them better the next time. Then I fight them better the next time. Because there's an element of uncomfortability that I have when I fight someone. So always after the first match with them, I do 10 times better. So it's a benefit that I fought him before, you know.
So what do you think of his style? What's when you think about, as you said, you go through the match progression in your head, what are the things he's good at that you want to avoid? What are the traps he can set? What are some of those strengths that are at the top of your list as far as he's concerned?
Again, I'm not really focused on what he does. I'm just focused on attacking him every second. That's my style of fighting, regardless of who I'm competing with. I respect all my opponents. That's why I prepare so hard. Like, I train like 12 hours a day, you know? So I respect him so much, but I don't really focus on him. I just know that he's a tough guy and it's going to be a war because he's not going to just give me anything. I'm going to have to really work for what I want to get on him, you know? So I'm just training as hard as I can right now. I'm just preparing my mind that I have to attack 10 minutes straight without stopping at any moment. And if I could get the finish, awesome. If he could get the finish, awesome. We're going to make history with the first belt fight in one. So we have to put on a show, you know? That is the mindset for this. we have to make it exciting so it could stay on this platform.
What are your thoughts? Of course, you're competing for one, and once again, it's on Prime Video 2. It streams next Friday, September 30th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern. Do not miss it. What are your thoughts on the spotlight that's been on submission grappling with the last, I don't know, few months at least, but man, ADCC, so many eyeballs on that. Of course, Gordon Ryan smoking the competition. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the way submission grappling is going right now and how many people are following it? What are your thoughts on that, man?
It's so basically back in the day when people did jiu-jitsu, it was like taken that if you wanted to make money, you had to switch to MMA, right? So you had to go to MMA, you had to do all this stand-up and switch from doing jiu-jitsu. We're finally at a point in time where you could actually stay in jiu-jitsu and make a living just like if you were doing MMA. So it's really fascinating and interesting to see this new generation and how much viewership jiu-jitsu is getting now and gaining. It's literally on Amazon Prime. Like, how much bigger could this be, right? So it's definitely a different time period where you don't need to get CTE and you could like make money in the fight industry. So it's really interesting.
Is it, last question for you before I let you go, is it separating a little bit in your mind? Back in my day, if guys won ADCC, they were usually world champions with a gi too. Like they were the same people, you know, Marcelo Garcia, Hojo Gracie, Jacare. They generally did both. Now we're seeing guys who like, I'm a submission grappler and that's how I make a living and I really don't care about the gi. It's almost like they're becoming separate, I don't know, styles or brands, however you want to put it. Do you see that happening a bit, or you still see there's, you got to be great at both? What do you think about that, man?
I believe you have to be great at both, because the best no-gi people like Gordon, if he puts on a gi, he would still kill people because he's positionally correct in both. So I believe if you have good jiu-jitsu, you could do both. Definitely for me, the gi is easier. So I'm a gi specialist, right? So I feel like a no-gi specialist gi will be more difficult for them. But we jiu-jitsu is jiu-jitsu regardless if you have a gi on or not, you know? So I feel like it is important both, and both of them have different puzzles to deal with. But I still feel like if Gordon put on a gi right now, he would kill everyone, you know?
Well, he's going to be competing at 1 on Prime Video 2, streams next Friday, September 30th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern. Mikey Musumeci, thank you so much, my man. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. Have a nice day.
You too. MMA on SiriusXM is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Plus, catch Unlock in the Cage weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern and MMA Today Tuesday to Thursday from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156 and on the SXM app.
SiriusXM Podcasts.